Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, End Times Friday, and
good
this
morning.
Will be airing on October the 3rd. We're a little bit ahead of that as we tape things ahead and get ready for these things, particularly since we have a pretty active October coming up.
And yes,
with retreats, Linda and I have...
You guys have three, several retreats.
Yeah, we have three back to back to back. We'll do an elective retreat. We're doing a retreat inviting millennials and Gen Z who have been through abiding. So they know how to abide and they have a heart for it and they want to give it away. So we're going to do an elective with them as well as have a time of discussion specifically about talk to us about the characteristics of that generation. And then how do they learn? How do they receive? And then how can we invite them to learn to abide? And again, one of the things that we've already had some discussion about a little bit is that there is a and I've seen this for, you know, for really decades now, that the attention span of youngsters is really short.
Right.
And getting shorter, you know, which is why TikTok, for example, is so popular. Because it's just short, you know, it's just
quick little things. Yeah.
Quick, you know, and, you know, with video games and computer and now AI and, you know, everybody can have pretty quick responses as well as their brains are trained. If they're watching television, again, the camera movement, there's never, if you ever look at this and just kind of look at that piece of it, watch a TV show and you'll see that the camera switches the person, the place, the angle in every 10 seconds. And it used to be just sitting there and you'd watch somebody for several minutes. And so kids got used to processing that way. Fast. You know, so the one challenge, and I see two big challenges, particularly as we think about, you know, as we're watching for the end, I see two gigantic challenges for people who are going to be separated, what we call between the sheep and the goats, and those that have a heart to follow God, called the remnant.
Right.
And those that don't. And the two big things are, one, AI, and it's dramatically encroaching into the Christian world because people aren't used to abiding.
Right.
And they don't know what that looks like. And they're used to, you know, listening to a sermon and they respond. That's good. And I love, you know, particularly when people are speaking, you know, Bible truth. But what's happened is that instead of going to the Word and walking with God in the Spirit, connected to the vine, they just go to AI and ask questions. What about? And, you know, 10 seconds later, you get an answer and they're used to that. So they're replacing, the thing that I'm seeing is that they're replacing God with AI.
Right.
And there's then no even a thought, I need to spend more time with God in a relationship. So they're losing that relationship with God even more. And then number two is that they're so used to short attention spans that it's the complete opposite of what's required to abide with Christ.
Right.
It's a relationship that is ongoing, and that means meditation, pondering, processing the truth that I'm receiving from Scripture and from the Spirit, because I'm not going to get instant answers. And this is interesting because the world wants instant answers, and God says that's not how it works spiritually. You can demand it all you want to, but if you don't spend the time with me and let processing happen with an ask, seek, and knock process and a step by step process, you will short circuit my ability to deliver to you, and I'll let you see. I'm not going to force you. And just because you're used to getting fast answers, you can't demand from me a fast answer. And by the way, my timing is way different than your timing. And
Right. You're
going to have to learn to wait, and you're going to have to learn to walk and have things that aren't clear to you until I'm ready to give you clear eyes through
discovery. And boy, is that countercultural, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the two big issues are right there. I think it has big impact on, as we think about the end, that particularly with AI and this short attention span, which I kind of see them coalescing, is the replacement of God with technology. Mm-hmm. And believers themselves are falling into that trap.
Right.
And I think it's a clever trap of the enemy with, again, you know, same thing, think about, you know, internet and computers and, you know, it's, you know, what a pleasure and a blessing we have. It's like you and I, we can do this podcast because we've got technology. You can be in New Hampshire. I'm in Colorado. You know, 20 years ago, we couldn't have done this.
Right.
We would have had to do it, you know, either live, and we couldn't do that. So we just couldn't do it. You know? So it's a blessing that we can do it. But that technology can be then used by the enemy mm-hmm. for the purposes of moving things away from God and eliminating the life and the power of the Holy Spirit, which is his goal.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit about that today as we think about division that's happening. We are, we're taping this just so happened that the day after Charlie Kirk, mm-hmm. you know, got assassinated. And from all appearances, it was somebody with a rifle, probably more than 250 yards away.
Yeah, which it was a sniper, they're saying, right?
A sniper.
From a rooftop location.
Yeah, a sniper that had a scope and had a rifle, sniper rifle. And it was intended to be a headshot, which would instantly kill him. But because of the distance and he didn't adjust for it, what happens is that the bullet drops and it hit him in the neck, and it just so happened it hit his carotid artery, and that's it.
Mm.
So the blood just, you know, just lost all his blood, and that was it. And you can't, when you cut the carotid artery, it's basically you can't solve that problem, you know, and
right. So
that's how he died. So it's a sniper, professional sniper, purposeful sniper. And by the way, he did it when he was in the question about transgender, which was interesting. So, well, how do we look at that? First of all, it's just overwhelming when we think of a person that's young, of course, anybody, but has a wife and kids, and it's just
heartbreaking.
Sad.
Yeah,
it's just heartbreaking.
It just shows the evil in the world, right?
Yeah. When you even think of, you know, if that was happening to my grandchild or my children, it would just devastate you, you know, and mm-hmm. that how sad is that we live in this evil world. And of course, some questions come up, what's going on?
Right.
And because it was a professional hit, that means somebody planned it.
Right.
And more than just a single person. In other words, he didn't do this by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of some other group or leadership.
Or movement or something. Yes.
A movement or something. And so it got worldwide attention, which is interesting. Why? Well, because a fundamental question comes up, like, well, how did that happen? Who's behind that?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know yet, but who's behind that? And that means what's the purpose is to silence and to cause division and cause chaos and we versus they. And so there's something happening there that we're trying to, you know, understand of who's behind that. Why did they choose that? And what's the implication of that? And, you know, that he is a believer mm-hmm. and he was a very vocal believer.
Right.
Jesus is my savior. I'm nothing. He made a statement. I'm nothing without Christ. You know, just what, mm. you know, what Paul has said. So he understood his position. So we know one thing, as a believer, he's with God in heaven.
Yes.
So he's actually rejoicing, you know, at the moment. Yep. He's actually rejoicing at the moment because he's with God, and he's now in his walk, you know, into eternity with God, which is a rejoicing moment for him. And Paul says it in Philippians 1:19. You know, it is far better for me to die than to live, because to die is gain. I get to be with him in eternity, and what a blessed thing that is, and beautiful thing that is. That's happening. But the question that arises is how could God allow one of his children? So that the question, Kathy, is as that happens, and he's a believer now with Christ, well, I thought God was in control, and if God is in control, how could he allow his own child, who's a spokesman for him mm-hmm. and bearing witness for him, you know, be assassinated?
Mm-hmm.
couldn't God have stopped it? Why didn't God stop it? And what's the problem with that? And behind that means if I think God is in control and that's what happened to one of his children, ultimately my conclusion is God doesn't seem to be that good mm-hmm. or that caring individually. And I guess we're just subject to arbitration, arbitrary things that can happen in our life. And I guess God doesn't, you know, prevent them.
Mm-hmm.
But he could because he's in control, you know. And so that raises this whole issue of the world and the wicked world we live in, and to understand that the world is under the authority of the enemy, and Christ has, and God the Father through the Holy Spirit has the authority of the kingdom, and we can overcome things. But we're not immune
right.
from the issues of the world, which, you know, everybody is subject to, and there's something that is about, you know, his death that God knows, but we don't understand it, but we can't look at him and say, you know, you should have. Because mm-hmm. if we start there, we got to take it all the way.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay, well, if you could have stopped that one, then you can stop murders and you can stop rapes and you can stop, you know, this and stealing and all these things. And God says, well, you gave away this world to the enemy and it's a kill, steal, and destroy place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't change it. I'm going to ultimately destroy it and create a new one. But in the meantime, you live there, and the only way you can live life is to walk with me, and that there is a designated time where you are going to pass from this life into the next, and we can't guarantee exactly when that's going to be, and understand that, you know, to die is gain, but we are called to live here, and we got to be careful about placing our system onto God and say, why didn't you?
Right.
And all we can say is, help us understand it. Help us, mm-hmm. help us interpret this. I just see it as a battle going on in the world right now as we're talking about the end. That
it's such a spiritual battle, right?
That's a spiritual battle. We're dealing with principalities and powers. And the goal is to eliminate the Holy Spirit on earth so that the earth is following Satan completely. Because mm-hmm. he's still just thinking and working toward that end, which we know ultimately winds up, you know, in the Battle of Armageddon. When he tries to eliminate the last vestige of the Holy Spirit,
right.
which is Israel. So we'll talk about that. Not a lot of answers about this, but interesting questions about, why such a worldwide reaction? Who's behind this?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that imply, you know, going forward? And then, of course, theologically, how do we interpret that as a believer of our view of God, really?
Right.
And I think
there's that element. And then there is also the warning piece, which you talked about, this being, you know, the enemy's, you know, mission is always to divide. He's always in the divide and still kill and destroy. And so also being very aware of where our hearts are in the midst of this. So seeking God in the midst of this, asking him questions and everything, but being very careful not to cooperate with the spirit of division. You know, and I think that's something we need to be aware of, being aware of the enemy's schemes. His schemes are to divide. And so we need to be very cognizant of that. Even in our language, you and I were talking about, you know, I've even received some text from people and understanding completely where they're coming from, but saying, I can't believe they did this already. And I'm like, do you see that you're already cooperating with the spirit of division?
Right.
Already, you know, we don't know who did it yet even, and you're already going to division, and it's a they and we. So let's be really careful about cooperating with that and simply seeking God and fixing our eyes on him.
Let's use that as a point of discussion. We're in this last Friday, we talked about the watchman, and we're going to talk more about it. But let's revisit these verses, and let's talk about the aspect of a watchman, even in regard to something like you just stated, is that, well, you can observe something.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, Father, where would you take me and help me understand? What am I to speak about something that I do observe? So let's talk about what you just observed. So go to Ezekiel 3, mm-hmm. 16 to 27.
Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him a warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself inside your house. And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house.
Okay, so I want to talk, set up the overview of it first, and then we'll specifically talk about this issue of division. So he says, I'm making you a watchman. And so we as believers are included in that instruction. Is I'm telling you and inviting you into a process of being a watchman. And again, a watchman is really simple. You're observing.
Right.
And you're looking for, okay, what do I see and what do I observe that I then will go to God and say, you know, I'm gonna process this with you because I do observe it. And he said it'll be all kinds of things. It'll be, you know, real circumstantial things. It'll be a discernment that, I think this is another, like what we just saw with Charlie Kirk, is that I think this is another, let's say, major movement into division. So you're observing. So you're a watchman. He says, I'm going to make you a watchman. He says, for the house of Israel. In other words, for something bigger than yourself. So it does imply, you know, things for you in your circumstances. And usually that's where our focus is.
Right.
Is, hey, I got a
but
problem.
This is broader as well.
But he's saying, I need you to kind of lift your eyes a little bit and recognize there are global things. There are things around you happening, spiritual things happening around you that you need to be aware of and start to talk to me about them because it's bigger than you. And he says, therefore, hear a word and give warning. So, okay, we're observing. If we are going to be a watchman for God, we have to have the ability to do what? Hear his voice.
To hear his voice, yes, and to have him give clarity on what we're seeing.
So I've got to now hear, and hearing is the process of abiding, talking through, processing through, pondering through, meditating through, discovering truth. What do you have to say about this? And I can hear what you have to say, and then I will give you a word to speak, a warning. I'll tell you what to say. Okay. So he said that's kind of the setup, and then he implies here that you're going to talk and speak to both unbelievers and believers, those that are righteous and those that aren't righteous. And the messages will be slightly different.
Right.
For the unrighteous, now the message is really pretty simple, is you don't know Christ. In order for you to have eternity with him and for you to live the covenant grand life, we invite you to consider the truth of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you and the position we're in. For righteous, they already have made that decision, the believers, but they're walking away from God. Because he says they can then turn from being righteous into a place of sin. And this is where, you know, as we in our ministry try to get clarity about that and simplicity of that is, what does that mean? Okay, I'm a believer. Well, Romans 8:5-8 says what happens is that when you go to the flesh, and the flesh is I decided on my own without following God. I put to death the power of the Spirit. I'm at enmity against God and I cannot please him. And in Galatians 5:1-4 says you sever the relationship with Christ and you fall from grace. So you wind up in a place where you're outside the kingdom and you're experiencing the difficulty, pain of the world without the protection of God.
Right.
Knowing that even when we have the protection of God, we're still subject to that trouble, because Jesus said you're going to have trouble. So he says, I'm going to have you speak to both. And the messages will be slightly different. And by the way, because I make you a watchman, is as I speak, you are instructed, and I do hold you responsible mm-hmm. for speaking what I say to whom I say it to speak.
Right.
And it's on your back if you hear it, but you don't do it. And as a watchman, we're called to get to that place anyway. So if we don't, interesting enough, this is funny. If we don't say, I don't care about being a watchman,
mm-hmm.
Who cares? You know, there's spiritual pastors, they're watchmen, you know, not me. And God says, well, you automatically qualify in these verses as a believer who's now sinned.
Right.
And you've walked away. And that's why, you know, hey, Rich and Kathy, tell them they need to pay attention.
Right. Right.
And repent and come and be with me. Not follow anything that you tell them to do, but rather encourage them to come and get it from me.
Get them to his feet, period.
And so if you say, I'm not going to be a watchman, or I don't care about this, he says, well, you're automatically in that boat where mm-hmm. you are now have walked away from me, because I'm inviting everybody to become that. And then the story ends with, he told me to go out, and he says, I'm not going to let you say anything mm-hmm. until I give you my word. And when I give you my word,
then you speak it.
Now you go speak it, you know, openly.
Right.
And so as we look at this, you know, concept that you just suggested about division, is that, you know, we've seen this chaos, we see division, we see, you know, just think of political division, you know, mm-hmm. Democrat versus Republicans. Nobody listens to each other anymore. And
right.
It's not my side is better than your side. It's just the Republicans have the same thing. You know, they don't listen, and they don't,
right.
They vote.
Division is rampant, period.
Yeah, they vote a certain way. And we've lost, in our country, we've lost the sense mm-hmm. of caring, really, truly caring about the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not willing to let the other side provide input mm-hmm. that might be pretty good, actually.
Right.
And just work it through to a better solution, because mm-hmm. right now, and unfortunately, both senators and congressmen do not vote really how they personally feel.
Right.
They're told how to vote by the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just watch it. You know, you can watch it now over the next several months. Just watch the votes. And it lines up party line that everybody voted this way. And this is why, because why the leadership tells it. So we have division already in the country because of an unwillingness to process through to a resolution,
mm-hmm.
which is what division is all about. And so, you know, when you say as a watchman, you're observing something and you made a statement, we're called not to participate in that division.
Right.
When you say that, what are you thinking about? Therefore, how do we not participate in that division?
I think a lot of that is, one, just making sure that we are not feeding the frenzy, for one thing, y'all, not buying into it and not feeding it, but asking God to give us clarity on what to step, what to speak, what to think, what to pray even in the midst of it, but to not buy into and not join into, even like, I think there's power when we speak things. And so that's why I say that just hearing people putting that term, they versus we mentality, I feel like you are cooperating immediately with the enemy in that, in speaking division, rather than learning, okay, what does God have to say? How do we look at this with discernment and truth? Absolutely. But not feeding the division, rather feeding, going back to God. What do you have to say? How do we respond? How do we love in the midst of it? What do you want us to lead us in this? There's a whole different response that needs to take place
yeah.
than the casting of blame and the firing of shots that immediately cooperates with division, which
yeah.
is a big part of this.
Yeah. And it's not to ignore division. We know it is existing. We can observe mm-hmm. it and see it and understand it. And there's opposition, you know, to our position. So we get that. So it's not to ignore it, but it's within the context of that. What's our role is not to reinforce it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. In other words, yeah, it's better for you to fight against that and don't cooperate with them at all and blah, 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 as opposed to, why don't you encourage people to talk to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do that, you know. So
right.
when I have people on the opposite side of things, it's clear that they mm-hmm. feel a certain way and they're pushing against me and they're trying to silence me. What I don't do is engage in a foolish dispute of fighting right. against them because it's just going to get more enhanced. Rather, would you like to talk about this? Would you like mm-hmm. to, you know, openly share what you think and feel and why you think and feel, if you'd be willing to let me do the same?
Right.
And let's just process it. So before we come to a conclusion, which is your point of division, mm-hmm. and you're trying to stop me from speaking to that, I'd like to hear what you have to say and let's process it. So we can do that on a personal basis and then encourage, you know, our people yeah. around us to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Just something else that was highlighted to me. I don't know. I know we're getting to the end of our yep. time today, so this yep. could be a whole nother conversation. But as you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, here in Ezekiel talking about being a watchman, speaking when he says speak. And not only do we see division as a tactic of the enemy in this particular case with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but also we see the enemy using fear to keep people from doing exactly what we're talking about, being a watchman.
Yeah, sure.
There's a fear tactic that was just put in there you're already hearing young people saying, well, I'm afraid now on my campus to speak up about XYZ right. because this spirit of fear is being interjected on yep. being a watchman. And mm-hmm. so again, something to be aware of, to pay attention to pray about, and to make sure we're not cooperating or feeding that fear, but instead asking God. You know, he told Ezekiel, I'll tell you when to speak, you speak. I tell you when to hold your tongue, you hold your tongue. That's not monitored by fear. That's monitored by God.
Yeah.
And so making sure that we're walking in that as watchmen is going to be super important, because I do believe this is also a direct attack of placing fear in watchmen.
Right. All right. And literally the fear would become a target.
Right.
Either people come hard against us, including, you know, is it going to go to where it's anarchy?
Right.
And, you know, people literally try to harm me. And so, yeah, it's a big deal. We'll talk.
There's a lot going on in the spiritual realm with this, right?
Big time. Yeah. And that's really what we're trying to say as we have these Fridays is keep observing. And we do have lots of questions, mm-hmm. which is good. That's what a watchman does is, hey, I observe something. I need to know more about that.
Right.
Help me understand it. What's the impact of that global thing that's happening? How do I interpret it? And when do I speak it? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, don't speak it until I tell you.
Right. Right.
And in order for us to know, we have to have clarity. See? Mm-hmm. And that's why the abiding with him is so critical is, okay, help
Absolutely.
Me understand this greater. And this is why the community is so important and people processing this together. So this is big time stuff. And this is a big issue of preparation is we do have to observe, but we do need processing with our community, with God, mm-hmm. to understand what is going on, what do we understand about it, and how do you want us to speak to it
right.
at the right moment, and we know we'll speak your words, not ours. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very clear passage. That says you're making us a watchman for something bigger. We have to hear your voice. You're going to even remind us that I'm going to shut your mouth until you're ready to speak. And so don't violate that. And so we pray that we'll process that well, that we will not join into this division per se, knowing that there is division and how do we respond to it. And certainly you're not asking us to compromise with it, to just have it go away. So we do understand that. And we praise you and we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Great conversation. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.